Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Saints. Welcome to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm really blessed and I'm very privileged and highly favored to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you today. Praise the Lord. We had such a blessed and wonderful time of corporate worship today with the Saints of Christ Universal Church, and we always invite you all to come out and join us on the fourth Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. for our corporate worship time. So we thank God for each and every one of you who gathered with us today, and we look forward to other opportunities to join with you. Praise the Lord. We're continuing this week, Saints, with our study for our series about practical Christianity. We've been looking at the book of James over the last several weeks, and today we're going to be continuing with that same theme about practical Christianity. And today's lesson is entitled Facing Our Worldliness, Living a Christ-Centered Life. That's what we're going to talk about today, so I pray that you'll go ahead and have your Bible, your paper, pencils. I ask you to do that so that you can be prepared to take notes and study along with us. We want you to search Scripture, Saints, to see whether the things that we say are so or not. Praise the Lord. And while you're gathering those materials, you know, I'm going to go ahead and prepare to give you our key verse as well as our central truth. And before we do that, we're going to get a few announcements out of the way because we want you to be able to connect with us at every available opportunity with us here at Amazing Grace Ministries. On next Saturday, I think it's the 29th of August at 2 p.m., our Cell Church Fellowship will be going to a movie called The War Room. We'll be meeting at 2 p.m. in Morrow, Georgia. So contact us, find out how you can come out and be a part of that fellowship with us as we watch that movie that deals with prayer being a powerful weapon. And then we're going to have some fellowship dinner afterwards. Also, our Grace Bible College and Seminary classes are scheduled to start next month on September 19th. The registration deadline is August 24th. We also have our lesson summaries every Tuesday and Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. for our distance education students. And make note of this. We're going to be hosting a Pinnacle of Success seminar, and this is going to be in November. So far, we have it scheduled for Saturday, November 21st. We'll be announcing more information about that. But you want to come out, be a part of that seminar where we talk about helping you reach the high point of success in life, business, and relationships. Praise the Lord. So please do make note of those. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's our key verse for today's lesson, Facing Our Worldliness. Our key verse we're looking at is James chapter 4, verse 7. And let me read that for you. King James Version reads, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The New International Version reads, "Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let's get a word of prayer then, Saints. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today. I praise you. I adore you. I magnify your name, and I come before your presence even now. On behalf of each person who's listening to the sound and hearing my voice, I'm thanking you and I'm praising you today for their salvation. I'm thanking and I'm praising you today for their healing, for their provision. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you today that your word is alive and active. We thank you and praise you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us clearly to help us to recognize the signs of worldliness in our lives, God, and to direct us to live a Christ-centered life. So be with us today as we study your word. Speak to each heart, speak to each mind. Heal, save, and deliver right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Again, Saints, welcome to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. You're listening to our Sunday Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. We're going to be talking today about facing our worldliness, Living a Christ-Centered Life. We're going to be coming from the book of James, and I gave you our key verse earlier. Our central truth as we think about this lesson is that worldliness alienates us from friendship with God. And we're going to talk about how we can recognize signs of worldliness and how we can live in Christ's righteousness. Now, if you're going to be studying along with us, here's the study text that we're going to be using for today's lesson. We're going to be coming from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. That is going to be the scripture text that we're going to use for this week's lesson. And if you're taking notes, there are at least 3 points of outline that I pray the Holy Spirit will allow me to discuss with you today. It's very important and relevant that we understand that it's not just enough to be a Christian in name only, but we also must live as a Christian who represents his name in the earth. The first point of outline that I'd like to talk with you about is control your desires. In that section, we will talk about understand the root cause of worldliness and to be aware of the consequences. The second point of outline that I'd like to discuss with you today is draw near to God. In that section, we will talk about submitting to God as well as submitting to one another. And our third and final point of outline is pursue God's will. In that final section, we will talk about how to view yourself properly and how to view God properly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us that need facing our worldliness, living a Christ-centered life. So when Christians, when we as believers and followers of Christ, when we think of worldly behavior, we often focus on specific immoral acts such as drunkenness, adultery, pornography, and similar activities. But as we'll take a look today in the book of James, we will see that worldly living is not defined merely by immoral activity. Worldly living, as we will see today, can take place in ways that we might never be aware of unless we understand the biblical definition of worldliness and unless we learn ways to avoid it. So that's what we're going to be talking about as we introduce this week's lesson about facing our worldliness. Now, many of you, I know you may be saying, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. We all are affected by things in this world, which is why Jesus spoke some scriptures that says, be in the world, but not of it, because if we live in the midst of a fallen world, there are some of the things of this fallen world that will come against us, that will affect us if we're not careful to guard ourselves against it. And the key that we're going to learn today is living a Christ-centered or a God-centered life, and James is going to talk about that, that we do not live worldly. Now, again, as we begin the study for this week's lesson, I want to ask you a question. How do you define the term worldly? Okay, well, how about the word godly? Think about that for just a moment. And this lesson, I hope it brings to your attention today that when we as believers and followers of Christ think of worldly behavior, as I mentioned earlier, people like to focus on particular things that they consider to be sin, that are visible activities that blatantly defy what should be deemed pleasing to God. But I want to expand your thinking beyond that line of thought. Just as in the book of James, we see that worldly behavior is not defined merely by outward things. Worldly living can take place deep within our hearts, and they represent a tragic inner conflict that we have with God. This is why the scripture says, for man judges the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. So in today's lesson, saints, you will discover and explore the biblical definition of worldliness. You'll be confronted with the importance of searching your most secret desires. Yes, each one of us has to examine ourselves, for God already knows the good, the bad, and the ugly concerning us. And I pray that you will be reminded of the importance of drawing near to God. I also pray that you'll be challenged to seek out God's plan for your life, even if that means humbling yourself before God. And as you overcome worldliness, I believe that you will enjoy the blessings that come in living a Christ-centered life that honors God. Praise the Lord. So let's get a minute now. Let's go ahead and take a look at our first point of outline, which is control your desires. This is how we can face our worldliness and push ourselves or pursue living a Christ-centered life. First thing we must do is control your desires. Someone said to me, control your desires. So let's take a look at the book of James, and let's see what he talks about when it comes to this particular point of scripture. James chapter 4, I'll be reading from verse 1. I'm looking at the NIV version, verse 1 through 6. Verse 1 reads as such: what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or, verse 5 says, or do you think the scripture says without reason that he, being God, jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor or gives grace to the humble. So we see in this first portion of our scripture, as we look at the book of James about practical Christianity, living a Christ-centered life, he's saying to us that we must submit ourselves to God. This is the first key to being able to overcome worldliness and to be able to face worldliness and recognize it in your life. Because when you submit yourself to God, the Holy Spirit will convict, convince, and convert us from ways that are contrary to God's ways. So James says to the early church, and I pray the Holy Spirit will clear it to you today, that first thing we must do is control our desires. And that is, in order to do so, saints, we must submit ourselves unto God in order to allow the Holy Spirit to mold and shape us into the image of Christ. Now, you probably remember fighting with your siblings. If you have a brother or sister, you grew up in the same household with them, you probably remember fighting with them, maybe verbally or having disagreements or arguments. Well, perhaps some of you may even have physical altercations. Or perhaps you had this type of situation with a good friend when you were a child. But I want to ask you a question concerning that. Have you ever thought about why those arguments occurred? Well, of course, it is natural for people to disagree and maybe sometimes to have fights. But these squabbles likely had roots that went much deeper than what we might expect. Now, if we reflect on those conflicts that I just mentioned to you, you will probably discover that you fought and argued because you did not get something that you wanted or thought you deserved. Or perhaps you felt offended because someone said something to you that you did not like or they disagreed with. Maybe your brother got a bigger present for Christmas, or your sister was a better artist than you, so you had to tear her down to make yourself look better. If we think about what I'm saying here, we will understand that most arguments then, as now, were rooted in personal desires or selfish ambition. Some of them may be the result of anger or feeling spited or feeling rejected. But in the most part, we probably argue because of not getting our own way. Now, ultimately, saints, when we look at those situations in hindsight, They represent a rejection of the need to surrender to God's plan for us. Of course, at that time, we didn't understand that humility is force or power that is more powerful than winning an argument. Because if you win one argument, then you have to be prepared for the person to come back again to fight the next argument. And so when we now surrender ourselves, or as the scripture says, submit ourselves to God, we can understand God's plan for us better. That is not always about us getting our own way. You see, when we submit to God's plan for us in favor of pursuing our own, say, personal agenda or self-centered reasons, we will begin to obtain the favor of God. We're talking about being able to live a Christ-centered life, and in order to avoid worldliness or avoid to face your worldliness, yes, sometimes each and every one of us react according to our flesh, okay? And sometimes we may have thoughts that are not always the thoughts that God would have us to think, if we're honest with ourselves. But we realize that this is an issue that affects most, if not all of us. But the question that we're trying to get to today is, the answer for you today is, how do we overcome those types of situations? How do we face those moments when we are finding or acting or talking contrary to God, which in this sense is talk about living worldly or according to the ways of this world? Well, here we are in James again. We looked at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. James noted that the root cause of fights and quarrels in most instances is an attempt to fulfill selfish desires. See, we as humans, we seldom feel satisfied with what we already possess. We always seem to want more, striving for more, a newer car, a bigger house, more fashionable clothing. And this is why Paul spoke in another letter. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so as we continue to look at some of our own motives for arguing and for fighting against people or quarreling, we have to realize that most time it's centered around ourselves. It's not centered around Christ. You see, most theologians may say a word like this. They may argue that there is a God-sized hole in everyone that must be filled if a person is to be satisfied. See, there's an emptiness inside of each person that houses and money and possessions and friends and families cannot fill. There's a void, there's an empty spot in each person that only God can fill. Today we're talking about facing our world in this, living a Christ-centered life. We're taking a look at the book of James today, chapter 4. And the first thing that James instructed his writers and readers to do is to control your desires. Now, of course, you can't control your desires on your own. You will need the help of God, which is why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of things that of which we are in error of. And so if you don't allow God to fill that void, and you're not being satisfied by, no matter how much you get in this world, no matter how high the ladder you climb, you still, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you still feel empty or emptiness inside. Well, saints, the definition of worldliness is presented in verses 1 through 6. It is basically a human attempt to fill the hole with something other than God. And many of the things people speak to fill the God-sized hole are not bad in themselves. A rewarding occupation, a perfect family life, or a nice home, these things are okay, unless you're trying to use them to fill the void that only God can do. Now, the reason why I say that is because such pursuits will only serve to reinforce that only God can satisfy us. How many of you can relate? Now, you may live in a better neighborhood than you did before, but are you completely happy? You may have a newer car, but maybe now you're worrying about being able to pay for it. You may have found a mate or a new mate, but now you're having disagreements and arguing. Why do you think people get divorced? No one marries with the plan of being divorced. And so we must understand that people and things cannot fill the void that only God can fill. And if we're going to live a Christ-centered life, we need to face our worldliness. Praise God. And the first error we need to do is to learn to control our desires. Now, if we do not submit, saints of God, to this feeling of seeking out God, to God, what is it that I'm missing? You may need to simply ask God. You remember James said that we have not because we ask not. And a lot of times the things we ask for, we do not receive because we will only use them to perpetuate our self-centered thinking. It's time to make a switch in your thinking today. It's time to switch gears and say, God, I've accomplished this. I've acquired that. I have this or I've had that. But it did not complete me. Today we want your life to be made whole. Christ wants your life to be made whole and complete with nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. But you must deal with this area of this God-sized hole that we talked about. So some people chase after things. Some people chase after positions, sadly. Other people chase after destructive things like alcohol, drugs, or immoral sex to bring satisfaction. And oftentimes, saints, we make a tragic mistake if we conclude that these blatantly detestable pursuits are more worldly than attempting to fulfillment in more conventional ways, pursuing a new job, pursuing prestige, trying to have the perfect family. It may be different sides of the coin, but it's still the same coin. So we must understand that even as Christians, sometimes we fail to find the kind of satisfaction with life that we crave. We might even be inclined to blame God. Sometimes we may wonder that we don't receive the blessings that we seek from Him. Now, let's deal with that issue for just a moment. On that issue, James made a critical and revealing point. He says these blessings are more elusive because of our motives are wrong. Yes, this is talking about facing our worldliness. He went on to say that this is a fundamental characteristic of worldliness. You see, sometimes worldliness can hide beneath the surface of things. Sometimes you want to talk more in the area of, I just want to be blessed. But do you want to be blessed? Or are you trying to be like everybody else? And if the answer to that is the latter, then you have to face your worldliness today. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that we all take a good long look in that mirror to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us areas where we may be falling short. So here's a question. How can we say we serve God if we allow ourselves to be drawn toward priorities and pleasures that are inconsistent with His plans for our lives? So just as James didn't hold back, I'm glad we could have this conversation today. James didn't hold back in his characterization of the problem among his readers. He said that his readers were guilty of spiritual adultery. They thought they could enjoy friendship with the world and yet maintain a right relationship with God. But let me tell you something in case you have not got the memo, thanks to God. God does not allow His people to live with divided hearts. You see, such a life leads to serious consequences, and following the road that rejects worldliness, it might seem to be a daunting task. It may seem to be less than what you desire for yourself, but I want you to be careful, saints, because the pull of sin is strong at times. But I want you to know you can be victorious only if you humble or submit yourselves unto God. See, when you seek God and when you humble yourself, then you will destroy pride instead of pride destroying you. And this requires, saints, a surrendered heart. And when we surrender our heart to God, it brings victory over our own sinful desires. So what are some desires you are struggling with that could lead you to worldliness. I want you to think about that for a moment of personal reflection. And also think about how can you enjoy things that exist in the world today without it becoming worldly? Whereas when you realize that God has blessed you with the gifts or whatever they are, the people in your life, in order that you may be a blessing to them and that they may be a blessing to the rest of the world. If we keep Christ at the center of everything, nothing else will draw us away from that center. This is the first point, control your desires. The second point that James made today was that we need to draw near to God. You see that he talked about that in verses 7 through 12. So how can you live godly in a world that's filled with all the carnal pleasures and attractions, some of you may be asking? How can you maintain your affection for spiritual things when surrounded by, say, temptations to indulge your ego or seek personal gratification? Well, these are real questions that believers face every day, saints. And many of us fail to even realize that attempting to find fulfillment through worldly things puts us in direct conflict with God. Perhaps some of you listening today have fallen into the trap of trusting things of this world to give your life meaning and joy. I want you to know today that it's a road that can only end in disappointment. The wise choice is to shift, some of the shift, the wise choice is to shift your focus toward your relationship with God. Draw near to him. Seek him with all your heart. So James presented a valuable formula for bringing proper focus to life. He outlined seven keys that will help us in aligning ourselves with God and finding the personal fulfillment that you desire. Here is the things he listed. Number one, submit yourself to God. Number two, resist the devil. Number three, come near to God. Number four, wash your hands. Fifth, purify your heart. Six, grieve over past sin. And number seven, humble yourself. Saints, I realize that without the Holy Spirit, these things can be difficult. They strip us of the kind of ego boost that we often crave by calling us to humble ourselves in submission to God. They force us to acknowledge our sin, even if we find the assurance of forgiveness in Christ. I want you to know that God never walks away from believers. When your spiritual relationship with God grows cold, it isn't God who has moved. Rather, it is a sober indication that we have strayed away from God. But I want you to know that if you find yourself in this condition, God is waiting for you. He's waiting to draw close to you once again. He only requires that you recognize who he is and what he has done for you. So why do you think true humility is difficult, saint? Usually because it goes against our ego. Let me go to our third and final point as my time is getting away today. Third and final point, besides controlling our desires and drawing near to God, we must pursue God's will. Hallelujah. And once you have submitted yourself to God, you must then align yourself with his plan for you. Even though we know this can also be challenging, we are inclined to map out the course of our lives. It is human nature to believe that we have been best equipped to make the best decisions for ourselves. But James' teaching on worldliness calls us to make a decision. We can't choose to follow our own way and at the same time claim that we're following God's way. Today, saints, in conclusion, it is sometimes seems increasingly easy to combine worldliness with Christian faith. There is a tendency to dismiss the practice of godly living as legalism or outdated thinking. But James 4 teaches us that mingling faith and worldly values instead alienate us from friendship with God. So as a follower of God, it is imperative that you recognize signs of worldliness and that you live according to God's will. And if you have discovered that you are trying to find fulfillment and purpose through worldly means, I pray today that you will choose to apply the seven keys to spiritual success that are offered by James in this lesson. Oh, saints of God, I pray that today each one of us will face our worldliness so that we can live a Christ-centered life. In Jesus' name, may you be blessed.